Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Orpheum Theater. I am sure that many of you are listeners to This American Life on its three airings on the weekends here on WKNO. If not, then probably you might be a podcast listener, because those are very popular also. Well, if you're a fan of the show, you've got a unique opportunity coming up on October 5th at the Orpheum Theater, when Ira Glass, the host of This American Life, is going to be bringing his program Reinventing Radio to the Orpheum. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it looks like it's going to be very interesting. And I've got Ira Glass on the line with me now. Ira, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Very glad to do it. Hi.
Hi. For people who have not listened to the show and may not be familiar with it, I like to describe it as, you know, when you're listening to All Things Considered, a morning edition, and they do this long story about somebody that you've never heard of that's doing something really fascinating, and you can't help but listen to the end of the story. I say it's kind of like that, except just more so. How would you describe your show?
That's not a bad description. I mean, one of the things that I wanted when I started the show was I had been an All Things Considered and Morning Edition producer and then reporter, and every day, like, there's some story where you just can't get out of the car, you know what I mean? It's just some amazing magnetic story. And I thought, like, well, you could do a whole show of those. Like, that would be a good show. And the idea behind This American Life is that it's stories that unfold like very old fashioned stories, where there's characters in some situation and you watch them go through stuff or you hear them go through stuff, and there's funny moments and emotional moments, and you just kind of want to find out what happens next.
Yeah. One of the characteristics of the show is that oftentimes, usually, there will be some sort of theme that ties these stories together.
Yeah. So each week we choose a theme and then do different kinds of stories on the theme. And the idea is that since most of the stories are usually not news related stories, there's no reason for them to be on the air together. it's not like the news where there's a reason that you should be hearing this particular story. And so we need an excuse to kind of move from one story to the next. Though I say that, and truthfully, like, one of the big changes in the show over the years is that, if these years have gone on, we've done more and more work where we take on things in the news.
Yeah. Oh, that's very true. I think that especially started happening after 9/11, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think like the rest of the country, we all got much more interested in the news after 9/11. And so we've done a tremendous amount of reporting on different things happening in the war on terror. We've gone out with soldiers. We've gone out on an aircraft carrier flying missions over Afghanistan. We have several shows that we've done from Iraq. But we've done all sorts of other things too. When the financial crisis hit, we did an episode where you get to meet the people who brought down the world economy and the mortgage mm-hmm. business. Some very lovely people, many of them, who we got to ask them, like, wait, you knew that these mortgages you were selling people, you knew that, like, these weren't going to work. These mortgages were going to collapse. Like, why did you keep selling them? And we got them to explain why. And when we do those stories, when we take on the news, we do it again in the style of our show, where there's characters and scenes and there's a plot to it.
Right. Now, here's what I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. I mean, we have radio shows come here pretty regularly. Prairie Home Companion is going to be here shortly after you are. What Do You Know has been here. Wait, Don't Tell Me. But they're actually doing radio shows, and obviously that's not what's going to be happening here. So tell us about this show, this live show that you're doing at the Orpheum.
Yeah, this isn't our show. Usually, occasionally we'll take our show on the road, and it's a huge and expensive undertaking, and we have a band and we have all sorts of things, and we don't do that very often. I tell stories, I have clips from the show, and talk about how we make the show, how we put together the show, a kind of behind the scenes look. And then I'm standing on stage with gear so that I can recreate the sound of the show around me as I speak.
That sounds fascinating, and I understand that one of the things that you can do, of course, is some things that you can't do on the radio show, like talk about your run-ins with the various censors that you have to deal with doing a radio program.
Yes, yeah, I think it would surprise people how often even a documentary show like ours has to really take into account FCC law, and there's a number of stories that are literally unbroadcastable that I'm able to discuss in this context. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of the show is really just an excuse to tell funny stories and play favorite quips, like amazing moments from the show.
We talked about this a little while ago, to some degree. The show's been around since 1995. You just passed your 500th episode. How has it evolved in that time?
I mean, the big way that it's evolved is us applying more energy into stories that are in the news. And now the staff is bigger than it used to be, and you know, we bring in a little bit more money because we've been around for so long, and so we can afford to send people overseas on stories and to spend time on stories, and we've even done a thing lately where we'll devote an entire episode, we'll basically turn our show into a news show,
right,
and do the week's news, but in our style, where the stories have, you know, a lot more. They're funnier, and there are more characters in the stories, and just done in the way that we do stories.
Yeah, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, I think you did actually a story that went the whole hour, which this call may be recorded, which was an extremely powerful thing.
Yeah, this was a story that we stumbled upon about this woman who was a journalist and a human rights activist living in Sweden, and she started getting phone calls, or she found out about these people who were being held hostage in the Sinai Desert, and then somebody basically said, well, you don't believe me here, you can call them yourself, and it turns out that in order to get more money out of the families that were, you know, these people who were being held hostage, these hostages had access to a cell phone.
Yeah.
In fact, and so she could just call them up. And then we have the recordings that she made. She's a radio reporter. And so we have these incredible recordings of people just talking about what they're going through and how people are getting shot and people are getting tortured, and it's a very emotional, very dramatic kind of thing. And that's the sort of story where, you know, from our point of view, you know, it's a hard thing to cover, and it's a hard thing to cover well. And part of the story is happening in another language, so we needed translators. And it took months, you know, just to go through all the recordings and also to verify that the whole thing is true. And then it's just amazing, like the thing that this woman in Sweden went through, like in addition to what the hostages are going through, like, you know, we say in the show, like, imagine if someone says to you, like, okay, here's a phone number of these hostages, and then they start calling her house at all hours,
oh,
saying, like, you know, can I do something? And imagine if this is you, if, like, somebody's calling you at home, you know, from the middle of the desert where they're being held hostage, and there's, like, 30 of them. And it just, she just went through an amazing thing and then tries to figure out how to get them saved.
Yeah, it's an incredible episode, and I would encourage people to go to the website and listen to it if you haven't heard it, because it's just amazing. We're talking with Ira Glass. He's going to be bringing his Reinventing Radio show to the Orpheum Theater on October 5th, and it's going to be quite a fascinating show, and you should call the Orpheum 525-3000 or check their website, orpheummemphis.org, and get your tickets. Let's talk a little bit about how you got into all this. You started interning at NPR when you were, I think, 19.
19, yeah.
Yeah, and now I think it's interesting that you were also interning at a hospital, because your parents weren't too sure about this whole radio idea.
No, my parents very much were opposed to it. I've said before, and it's true, my parents are the only Jews in America who don't like public radio. No, they were very much against it. They thought I should become a doctor, and they finally relented. But honestly, I was in my late 30s when they finally, I had my own national radio show before they finally kind of gave up the dream that I would become a doctor. And I feel like they tried to be good parents. They tried to be supportive, you know. But they made clear, like, well, we support you in whatever you do, but we do think, we just need to say, we think this is a big mistake.
but you say they've more or less come around now.
They have come around. There was a point where enough of their friends were saying to them that the show was good. And then in the early days of the show, I used to have them both on all the time. They were on the show a lot. And I think that kind of won them over. And then I remember we had been on the show for 5 years, and I was doing a promotional thing, and I was on David Letterman's show. And I just think that there was just something about seeing me on David Letterman that kind of just kind of like, that was kind of the last straw. They're like, all right. Fine, you win.
It's one of the things about the show, and this was, I think, especially so in the early days, but still is it's sort of self-referential. I mean, you were not necessarily a part of the show, but you definitely are. You talk to people, you introduce the stories, you narrate the thing, and it's hard.
No, I think that's very true. Yeah, no, I think one of the things that I'm interested in is I think that you can do interesting journalism where the person doing the reporting, me or one of the other people who's on the show, isn't a kind of like neutral cipher, but in fact like where we have a personality and you can tell that that I am a specific person and I'm reacting the way a person would react to the things that are being said to me. And I think you can do that and still be mainstream media, still, you know, be fair to all sides, not pick a side in a fight. I think you can be more of a three-dimensional person than traditionally is done in mainstream broadcast journalism in our country. And so that's one of the things, you know, that we very aggressively try to do on our show and try to rethink, you know, what would be different and what would be fun to listen to. And then, you know, there's a more kind of conversational, casual, chatty performance style, mm-hmm. too, to the way that people just kind of tell the stories.
Yeah, that's really interesting, too. You don't sound like you're a guy being on the radio. You sound like you're someone just talking to these folks.
Yeah, I mean, on a good day, yeah. Like, I mean, that's certainly what I'm shooting for. Yeah, and because I think that gets through to you more as somebody listening to the radio. I know it gets through to me more as just somebody talking rather than somebody with a more formal presentation. And truthfully, I feel like all media is going in this direction. I feel like everything, if you imagine a timeline, I feel like you could sort of start with newsreels and newsreel announcers kind of barking at an audience back in the 1920s and 30s. And then I feel like there's been a generalized sort of loosening of the way that people report news as broadcasters over the last, you know, however many decades that is. And I feel like where it's heading towards and where it is already really is the kind of casualness with which people write and report the news on the internet, where it really does feel like it's one person writing to you. And I feel like, well, that's what good radio has always been. And that's what we're shooting for.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring the internet up because you have been very, very successful as an internet presence with this show.
Yeah. Like our radio audience is like when, I mean, this is going to sound like a really big number, but for a public radio show, we're definitely not even the biggest or close to, like it's 1.8 million people listening on the radio each week. And then it's 900,000 people downloading our podcast each week. So there's a huge podcast audience. And over the last decade, basically a decade ago, we had no podcast audience and it was 1.8 million people listening to the radio. Basically, we've lost nobody on the radio and we've gained all these podcast listeners and internet listeners.
Yeah, that's actually the way I listen to the show most of the time is on the podcast because, you know, you're not always close to a radio when the show is on. This has been fascinating, and I know that our listeners are very much looking forward to seeing you. Thank you again for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ira Glass, Reinventing Radio on Saturday, October 5th at 8 p.m. at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets are on sale now.